Hey everyone, this is Tim from Rage of Reason. On today's podcast, we read listener emails. We go all the way back to the first couple episodes. We've been saving these emails for a few weeks, so it's really cool to finally get people's perspectives on personality types, on affiance, on all kinds of different topics. If you'd like to get your topic read or your question read, send us an email at rageofreasonpodcast@gmail.com.
Hey guys, Denny T here, Rage of Reason. We're back here with Tim.
Hey.
And we're also back here with Michael Skirbin.
How's it going?
And it's been a really long time since our last podcast. How you guys been?
I've been well. Dennis, what's new?
A lot, actually.
What, yeah.
In the last 10 minutes since we stopped recording the last podcast and started recording this one, I've consumed 3.5 beers. High ABV. So let's see what's going on that's new. Well, I'm going to be president someday. I've decided I'm going to be
president of what?
The United States of fucking America.
Oh, okay. Oh, shit.
Now, of course, it'll be the new. You
will be president of the United States of America after campaign two, then.
It'll
right?
be the reiteration of America. Of course, we're going to have that downfall, the Civil War, and then the rebuild and the unification. I will be the second president of the unification. President number 49. So don't refer to me as number 49 because number 45 is kind of like a slam. I prefer president to verdict. But anyways, this podcast is going to be short, and we're just going to address some listeners' questions that I've gotten on emails and kind of talk about some of the topics they bring up. And I'd like to do a shout out to our fans because, you know, fans make everything possible.
It's pretty cool that people actually listen to this, you know.
It's very cool.
Even cooler that they do emails to you.
Extremely cool. And I do read every single one of them. I haven't responded to everyone, but I will try.
he'll try in Denny time. So if you send him an email last week, just wait another 2.5 months. He'll get a response.
Right.
Well, I'm not very organized because I'm an ENFP, okay?
Oh, Jesus. Well,
which is a good segue.
Getting to Myers-Briggs right now.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to do because half these emails are about that. What's up,
hell yeah,
Michael?
Dude.
All right.
All right, the first email is from Adam. And Dennis, first of all, let me begin by saying you have the most beautiful voice of an angel. No fooling.
A oh, man shit. Said that.
No fooling. I like that.
Wow.
Thank you very much. You mentioned that nobody had written in with their results on the 16 personalities Myers-Briggs test. I took it right after your first podcast and got the architect, INTJ.
I don't think I've met one of those.
Kind of scary how accurate it really was. It's opened my mind up to exactly who I am and what I can do to improve the aspects I don't really like. Thank you for directing me to it. I, too, have decided to give Tim Lambesis another chance, as I think he truly did have time to think about it, and almost everyone deserves another chance. Keep up the great work. I love listening to your podcast and your music.
That was a good podcast.
Thank you. And that's a really cool follow, like, callback to our second podcast, which was the whole Tim Lambesis episode, which, like, a couple days after we recorded that, they released that band video conference thing that really was emotional. I mean, seeing Nick Hippa cry and just kind of share how they just was like, they hated Tim. They hated him because they destroyed his life, and destroyed their life, at least in the music realm. And yeah, I mean, I feel even more open to an As I Lay Dying future than I did when we did that podcast.
Really? It's like I've seen that video. Where is
it? It's on YouTube. As I Lay Dying put it up. It was just like an open half an hour talk between the members. It kind of shined some light onto how they were personally affected and how they came together and reconciled. But thank you, Adam, for the feedback. You know, I think the Myers-Briggs type indicator, though, you know, the testing can be flawed, I think the information is pretty spot on and is one of many guidance that can really help us discover ourselves.
We've talked about how both of us have gotten different results doing that.
Yeah, but I've taken it 8 times and 7 times I got ENFP. And yeah. 1 time I got what Tim is, which is ENTP.
And I've taken it 3 times and gotten the same results all 3 times.
Oh, really?
And it was not within a month. It was within a year. Wow. And then another year. Like, it wasn't like I took it, you know, back to back to back. I took it, like, there was some distance, like, time between the two. So
if you're on the cusp on any of those letters, you might pop fluctuate. The other one. So, like, the highest I've ever scored was a 59 in the F. So it makes sense that 1 time I got, like, a 52 on the T.
Yeah,
I'm a feeler and a thinker.
Yeah,
but everything else is, and I have more in common with an ENFP than an ENTP. But I love to talk. I love to debate. I love to challenge ideas. I just a little bit more sensitive than Tim. That's all. Anyways,
what are you saying? I'm a robot.
Yeah, you have no feelings. You're an ass.
Thank you.
Anyways,
thank you.
This one is from one of Affiance's biggest fans, and. I've seen her so many times at shows, and she made me bawl my eyes out at our farewell show by making us a scrapbook.
All right. I've heard this story multiple times. So, yes. Yeah.
Her name's Lillian, and she's awesome. She's like a little sister or something. Anyways, she wrote, hey, Denner. My girlfriend hates that other people call me Denner.
Why does she call you Denner?
Danny.
Jackie calls me Denner.
Oh.
Yeah. Hi, Dan. My favorite meal of the day is dinner.
Dinner.
I want dinner.
Okay, that's a little weird. I do not want dinner.
Well, baby talk with me in relationships is a common thing, except for one, because, well, I dated a baby. But anyways... it just didn't feel appropriate with that one, you know. I can't get over that nickname. Hilarious. Obviously, I've been listening to the podcast because why wouldn't I? I thought it was awesome that you talked about the Myers-Briggs tests and psychological types in the first episode. I've had to do a lot of research about personalities in multiple psychology classes that I've taken in high school and college. I took the 16personalities.com test again, all because of your podcast. I'm a campaigner, which is me, by the way. So that's why we're fans of each other.
Oh, clearly.
Which I found hilarious because of the album, but whatever. ENFP. I find it weird that I placed as this because I never feel like the life of the party, nor do I feel like I explore new things. It also said that I know how to relax easily, which is totally unlike me. I understand. I can't relax either. I feel as though I am very empathetic and let feelings take over everything, and that I can be a dreamer. So I see how I placed in those categories. Anyways, I thought it was great how in the latest episode you talked about the Milgram experiment. It's another favorite from psych class. Humans are fucking crazy creatures. Why do we do the things that we do? I don't know. I listened to the podcast while walking my dog today and figured I'd send you an email since you said no one did. Can't believe it's almost been a year since the last show. Miss you. Yeah, thank you for the feedback, Lillian. I'm glad people are taking the Myers-Briggs test and finding out more about themselves.
So, hey, just as a refresher, that experiment she's talking about, is that the one where they were doing the electroshocks?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and how we we take orders even against our own like moral aversion to it, which explains Nazi Germany.
No one's asked me what my Myers-Briggs is. You know what it is, though.
Yeah, it's an ENFJ.
Yep.
Yeah. You're the more organized version of me. So, and I'm the more seize the day version of you.
So yes. The three of us are actually pretty similar then.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is why this is awesome.
It's weird. We're both ENs.
Yeah.
And then the last two letters are all different. But
this one is from another super fan of Affiance, Kevin, who has, no joke, Kevin came to the show where we got recruited by the label in 2010. He's been with us since the very beginning of at least our professional. That was the first tour ever. He's helped us with our transmission blowing on the van. He's helped us when we missed our flight to Europe. This dude is a brother.
Super.
He's
fan.
Awesome. He's just a great dude. And Kevin emailed his test results, which is you, Michael, ENFJ, the protagonist. Thank you for the feedback, Kevin. Appreciate it. Hope you're listening. What's next? This email's from Michael.
Not hello. Me.
Yeah. Hey, Dennis. Been loving the podcast so far. Can't wait for the Affiance episode. Oh, I'm a little behind.
Just like he said.
Like I said, 2.5 months later, he'll respond. I promise. He'll respond. He'll just be late.
Sorry, guys. I took the Myers-Briggs test and found that I am a logistician. I expected as such. I'm not sure which one that is, but
I've never heard of anybody saying they're the logistician.
Well, my guess is it's definitely an S and a T, not an N and an F.
Hold on. Let's look it up. Yeah.
Logistician. Look that up. I expected as such. It did have some interesting points that I didn't realize about myself. The weaknesses of a logical person are not being creative and not being emotional, which I lack. Both of which are traits I'm trying to be better at. Keep the great content up. Thanks.
It's an ISTJ.
Oh.
And I've never met anybody with those letters. That's crazy.
It'd be interesting to understand who is rare. You know, like which Myers-Briggs are the rarest.
Oh, the rarest is INFJ.
Really?
Yeah, less than 1%. And that's actually the ideal romantic candidate for me.
That's really funny, Dennis, that you say that, because I've gotten that the other times that I've gotten that.
So you're a little bit more introverted. Do you want to make love to me?
Well, no, there's plenty of times in my life where I'm introverted. But I
thought you were going to say there's plenty of times where you wanted to make love to him.
Baby, 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 baby.
Hey, I mean, this couch has already seen so much action.
Jesus Christ, let's not talk about
it. Can we stop talking about the couch? Please. Jesus.
He gets so offended when you talk about his couch.
Well, no, it's just, you know, like, I just, like, leave it be, you know?
Anybody, pocket pussy or anything, Mike, hidden.
Let's talk about the couch for a second.
Actually, no shame, one time.
Please don't talk about pocket pussy.
I think it was 2007. 2007.
Was it a low point in your life?
I bought a pocket ass.
Oh, Jesus.
Because it was cheaper than a pocket pussy. It was only $9.99, and the pocket pussy was like $29.99, so I bought a pocket ass.
Was it used in conjunction with the couch? That's all
no.
I want to know.
Okay. I bought it for the sole purpose of telling my friends that I bought it.
Yeah, bullshit. That's what they all fucking say.
No, I'm 100% serious.
He's so offended. Look at this.
I wish everybody could see Dennis's face. No, he's like, shit, I used it, and I don't want anyone to know.
No, I did use it, and I told my friends about it, and then before Affiance, I did a lot of things for attention, and this is one of many. Mm. And I used it, and it was, I mean, I'll be honest, it was okay. It was weird. I mean, yeah, it felt good, but it didn't. It wasn't worth it. I don't understand. I don't need that thing. Whatever. It was 11 years ago. But what was funny was threatening it to throw it at my friends' faces.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Tim, how many more emails does he have?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyways.
I don't check the email. He does.
But wait, let me finish up on Michael. P.S. I'm one of the guys at the last show that had the Canadian flag. Heck yeah, dude. And if you read this on the podcast, can you do a shout out to my bud, Josh Fizikas? Yes. Everybody,
hi, Josh.
Shout out to Josh Fizikas in
Canada.
Yo, what up, Josh?
Poutine for all.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, that was so cool when people came from different countries and flew the flags and stuff. And I took the British guys to Sokolowski's. Anyways, all right, what's this? Ooh, all right. Another one from Michael. Just wanted to ask some questions for the podcast. You previously talked about single people should work to better themselves for something like eating healthy. Could you talk about how to start the process of fixing yourself? That was something you and I talked about when you were mentioning that you were newly single.
Yeah. Tim. I mean, I could talk about my experience.
Yeah.
Basically, I just go to the park on my own, ride my bike, go for hikes.
A little self-meditation there.
Yeah, basically. I sit by myself a lot, you know, and I go sit down by the river on the rocks and I just like sit. You know, like honestly, that's all I do.
Oh, that's,
and I do it a lot.
That's wise.
Yeah.
And I ride my bike like, I'm not saying I go like really, really far, but I go like, you know.
Do you get the spandex?
No, no, God, I wear like normal shorts and a normal shirt.
Come on, I would have made the story much better.
No, but I do things that like distract me a little bit. So I'll go on a long bike ride. I'll bring my camera with me, and like if I see something cool while I'm riding, I'll jump off and take some pictures of it, and then you know I just turn around and ride home.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I've been having a really good time doing that. So I would say that that's a great way to start.
It's an amazing.
Can you honestly say that you've done some self-reflection and maybe unpacking some things and problem solving by simply taking time away and
yes,
and not being stressed out and being alone in nature?
Absolutely. Not just being alone in nature, being alone in general. You know, like doing everything on my own.
That's awesome.
Cutting the grass, cleaning the house, going on hikes, driving my car, running on the treadmill. I mean, all that stuff.
Oh, I have the best daydreams of me saving the world from nuclear destruction when I'm on a treadmill.
Dude, all right. That's amazing that you say that. When I'm on the treadmill is like when I just zone. I don't even know that I'm on a treadmill. I have the best thoughts. Not saying good thoughts. I'm just saying like the best think sessions of my entire life is when I'm on a treadmill.
Your endorphins are running like crazy then.
And also, what, you like the beer?
Oh my God, yes.
That's my apricot beer.
Yeah, it's so good.
Thank you. Thank you.
He's a magician with his beer.
Thank you. Yeah, but I mean, I just think a lot on the treadmill. And I'm not joking. I'm like not even in the same room as my body at that point.
That's why I like going on long runs. Yeah. You know, it just gets all the stress out.
Sure. Long runs are good. But you're still out in nature, and there's a lot of distractions around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're looking at signs, you're looking at streets, you're looking at cars, you're looking at whatever.
Yeah.
I'm on a treadmill, I'm looking at a blank wall.
Right.
And it just allows me that time to really dive into my thoughts. I think some of the best things I've ever, like, come up with, like we're talking about beer. Some of the best recipes I've come up with or thought about are when I'm on a treadmill.
Right. I mean,
or things for my podcast. Or
yeah,
this
I've written lyrics on the treadmill.
Right. It's insane what I've done on the treadmill. Like, just thought about on the treadmill. Like, opens up my mind when... It's, like, the only time in the day where I actually feel like my brain can work to 100%.
Yeah, it's almost like you're at peace with yourself.
Right.
In your thoughts, and you're just controlling them.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend that. Run on the treadmill.
Michael, get on a treadmill. Number two, I personally am constantly distracted by games, my phone, news, other people's lives. So my question is, aside from avoiding the distractions, and this is a callback to our episode 3 of distractions, what is the best way to deal with the impulses of distractions? Well, I would just say making a conscious effort of recognizing why you're trying to distract yourself. Not so much just avoiding those distractions, but trying to find out why you need one in the first place.
Yeah.
And also doing everything Tim just said and with your, you know, answer to your question number one, I think that helps greatly.
I want to chime in on that one too. I think some distractions are good. So, for instance, I work at a desk all day and I find myself getting really distracted when I'm very challenged. Something that I don't know what I'm doing or something very foreign to me, I feel myself reaching for my phone.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a good thing. Like, I'm not saying it's always good because obviously, like, you want to challenge yourself and get, you know, but I think as long as you realize you're doing it, like, I look at my phone for 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and then I get right back to it and my brain sort of resets a little bit. You know, like, I was feeling challenged. now I reset my brain after a couple of minutes and I can get right back to it. I think it's good as long as, like Dennis said, as long as you realize that you're doing it and you know what you're distracting yourself from.
Well, one could argue that that's a micro version of you going to the park and sitting by the river.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to give yourself some time to de-stress from what you were just dealing with.
Oh, yeah. And I really need to hear this right now, too, because, like, I need to just, like, go sit by a river.
You should, man. Hey, we live right by the Metro Parks. It's beautiful.
Our city has the best city-wide metropolitan park system of any city in the country.
Yeah, it's been voted that several times.
It's gorgeous. Sometimes I'm like, wait, I'm in Cleveland? It's like a 200-foot... The Bedford Reservation...
Oh, my God.
It's amazing. ...is insane.
Stop giving the rest of the country and the world an idea to come move here.
Oh, yeah. It's shit here.
Don't come here at all. Don't come here. Nobody wants you here.
The housing is not affordable.
It's not cheap to live. There isn't a good lifestyle. There's no good beer here at all.
Yeah, plus LeBron left, so why would you want to come here? And yeah, you definitely cannot buy a house in a decent neighborhood that doesn't need much work for like $120,000. You definitely cannot. You definitely cannot.
It's a known, like, underlying, I don't want to say it's a joke, but it's just this tread of lifelong Clevelanders that are just like, you know what? Cleveland's fucking cool and we know it and we don't give a shit if anyone else cares.
It's awesome. Right. It sort of like makes everybody, there's like a lot of camaraderie from that.
Absolutely.
I think. Pretty cool.
Well, it's funny, from touring, you have two types of musician, the kind that kind of sticks to the venue in the van or bus, and the kind that explores. And the ones that experience Cleveland at a surface level, they kind of don't think highly of it. But the ones who dive in and get to know some of the neighborhoods or bars or things to do, they fall in love with it. They're like, oh, Cleveland's awesome, you know. But anyways, yeah, so thanks for that feedback, Michael, and questions. And, yeah, moving on. Janice. This one, I'm going to read. Hey, Dennis, I got turned on to your podcast from the Brewly Boys podcast. Hey,
that's my podcast.
Timmy coming in strong. I find you really intelligent and you know a lot more than me. I just wanted to give you my distraction.
Just for reference, don't anyone ever tell that to Dennis in person.
Yeah, I'm so confident and so happy and definitely don't need any uplifting remarks. I used to abuse alcohol for my distraction. I live in a trailer and I would get completely drunk every night and let the night take me wherever it did. I used to get drunk and sleep with random people in the bar, men and women. I'm not sure why that's relevant. It was a couple of wild years, but I feel like I was standing by those years and not improving my life. I feel like I'm years behind people my age with intelligence. I don't completely regret it because I got my daughter from those wild times I had. It's unfortunate. I'm not sure who's the father, but that's life. Wow. Well, that got heavy quick. I'm sorry about that, but... Well, I don't know how to respond to this one.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the podcast. I guess my only advice is that there's no time too late to self-improve. And
it's something that, like, and I'm going to bring in something I talk about with my clients all the time in financial planning. You're not alone. A lot of people think that they're behind in life, and I think that there is a lot of social construct behind that. And the number one thing that I would say is that just because you feel that way doesn't mean that that's true. And if you feel like you want to restart, you can restart it any single day.
Yeah, honestly, Janice, I feel behind in life. I spent 10 years devoting every ounce of my being into my band and touring and all that. And now I'm 34 and I'm rubbing pennies together to try and pay rent, trying to figure out, you know, I'm where a 23 or 24 year old, I feel a 23 or 24 year old would be financially or career wise. But, you know, my friends keep telling me that, you know, the experience and wisdom I gained from 10 years of doing what I did is invaluable. And
you've had life experiences that we would all wish for.
No doubt. And I also don't think you're that far behind. 23. I don't think you're that.
No.
You're not that far behind.
But that's something that everybody struggles with in their 20s, I think. I mean, I struggled with that myself. I mean, I think everybody thinks at a certain point that they have to be at a certain quote-unquote spot.
Well, it's also a millennial-wide issue. Yeah. You know, I'm not that unique. You know, I definitely picked a risky, unique lifestyle and career choice. But, I mean, it's not uncommon for somebody in their early 30s to, you know, right now to be like, whoa, I'm nowhere near where my parents were. Things have changed.
Yeah.
You know, my 401k is doing really well at zero.
Even with a college degree. Even with a college degree, you may not be where your parents are.
You know, it's
not even close.
And who needs a retirement when CRISPR's going to end the world anyways?
our generation got put in a weird spot with where the economy happened and technology and our education. You're not behind. Don't feel that way. That's all I would say.
Hey, Michael, how's that beer?
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Okay. If anyone likes Apricot, hit Tim up because he's got an amazing beer.
How do you like this one? This is the Session IPA.
Session IPA is also awesome. Let me take a sip of it.
Dennis, did you get some?
Yeah. I did not. I can't keep up. I'm feeling good. All right. This one's from Alex. And he actually sent two emails. This is the first one. Hey guys, huge fan of Affiance. I actually have Blackout playing in my room as I type this. Thank you. Just wanted to chip in as a form of support for the podcast. First, a question relevant to the podcast. I love the podcast so far. Wow, I've said podcast like 7 times.
Podcast.
And recently listened to the part 1 of Art of Distraction. While I do not necessarily dismiss the idea of mediums of entertainment as distractions, I don't think it should be interpreted as mindless entertainment, although some forms of entertainment could be. I think many forms of entertainment, such as video games and movies, can touch upon very real themes of life. Very good point, actually. Causing us to think about these themes and apply them to our own lives. In turn, this process can be beneficial to us by allowing us to grow in terms of self-discovery and knowledge of the world around us. That's actually an amazing point.
Yeah, it is.
And I agree with that 100%. I think when we were talking about media and entertainment, we were talking a little bit more on the shallow end.
Sports.
Or just, you know, the shallow end. Like, you could watch TV and watch the Kardashians, or you could watch TV and watch the Cosmos. There's a difference.
There is?
Is there?
actually, next, throughout the podcast, I've heard Dennis dismiss the notion of conspiracy theories. However, I was always under the assumption that many of Affiance's songs touches upon the existence of the elite, quotes, and their manipulation, control, over us. You guys even included the JFK speech. Where exactly, Dennis, do you stand on the topic of conspiracy theories in general? All right, that's awesome. I actually responded to this email already. And I even told him I needed to tread lightly with concepts and theories like this because I want to be taken seriously and I want to challenge people's ideas and get them to think. And, you know, as of late, you have people like Alex Jones who talk about conspiracy theories and the dude's a buffoon.
InfoWars.
Yeah, InfoWars is a joke. Doesn't mean that he doesn't have valid points every once in a while.
Dude, he talked about frogs being gay.
Yeah, like, I know. That's exactly why I stay away from any sort of focus on conspiracy theories. But I mean, yes, there are definitely conspiracies that have happened and are happening around us, and there are some that are called conspiracy theories that I do believe might have more truth to them than just an idea. But I don't want to focus so much on the content of a conspiracy theory and what I think it is, because that doesn't matter. It's more important to encourage people to use their deductive reasoning skills and their critical thinking skills and problem solving to come to their own conclusions. P.S. If you ever have time, give my boys at the Conspiracy Horseman podcast a listen. I guess it's a podcast he wants us to listen to, Conspiracy Horseman. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
I mean, this guy seems pretty reasonable. I don't think that's going to be like Alex Jones InfoWars. They do talk about conspiracy theories, but without the Alex Jones-esque archetype. Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, awesome. Thank you for that feedback, and hope you listen. All right, next one is... well, since I'm so old, I don't know how to navigate. This one's from Randy. He has an Affiance tattoo, if I remember correctly. Hey, Denny, it's good to hear your podcast. I haven't had the chance to talk to you since your last tour in Poughkeepsie, and ironically, I remember you mentioning Tim Lambesis. Ironic because I just finished listening to podcast number 2, and I definitely get the gray area. I also want to mention I took the 16 personalities test. He as well got logistician.
Oh, there must be a lot of us out there.
Wait, you're not a logistician. Yeah. My wife also took it and made about a dozen people on her team at work take it as well. That's awesome. That's awesome. Anyway, on to the main reason for the email, and maybe, hopefully, this will be a future topic of discussion. You mentioned in episode number two, you used to be a Christian, and I remember a Affiance post that loosely mentioned faith. So maybe you can touch base on that. Either way, I'll be listening. Keep up the good work. Awesome. Thank you for the question, Randy. Yes, I used to be a Christian. I no longer am. I definitely am influenced by my Judeo-Christian,
background.
I was not raised Christian, actually. I think you know that, Tim.
Yeah.
I actually became a Christian at 16 after almost becoming a Muslim. And I was very intrigued by religion and spirituality. And I've always been a questioner and challenger. And even in my Christianity, I kept asking questions. Most of my Christianity, I didn't believe in hell. Most of it, I did not believe in the, like, dogmatic belief that Jesus is the only way to salvation. And eventually, I just broke it down and broke it down and broke it down and was like, all right, this has a lot of good stuff in it, a lot of good guides, a lot of good philosophy, but there's no way this can possibly actually be, like, historical truth. Or, you know, that simply by believing in something, you're going to be rewarded and everyone else is going to be tormented. It just doesn't make any sense, because if God is real, and I actually do believe in the possibility that God is real, God would not think like that. It just seems so juvenile to me, so petty. But I definitely believe that religion, the tools taught in religion, and this could be another podcast episode in the future talking about how millennials have dismissed religion completely, but haven't, that we've failed to replace its role in society and in our personal lives. Like, what religion brings to the table besides the dogma, besides the fear tactics, besides the heaven and hell and the judgment, what does religion bring to us? And one of those biggest things is community. Mm-hmm. And we kind of don't have much community at any level anymore. But that could be a great topic, actually.
But you know what's interesting about it is morality hasn't gone away.
Right.
Well to a point.
People are more understanding now than they were 25 years ago, socially.
They might be more understanding of macro ideas, but I would argue that people are more outwardly selfish now than they have been. And I think that comes from a disconnect in the lack of community. And as well, like, all right, so at a young, when I was in my teens, I was adhering to Christianity. And then as I got older and grew up and learned more things, I realized that, you know, it's a great guide, but it's not the end all be all, and there's not a lot of scientific truth in it. So I'm like I would like to tout myself as a well-rounded individual, but somebody who's raised with out any sort of religious guidance when they're young, you know, it might be a little harder for them to figure out morality and ethics and those kind of things. Because
I don't know. I think you could just, you're a good person or you're not.
Well, that's assuming that biology dictates that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think,
I mean, obviously with psychopaths and sociopaths and things like that, maybe biology does, but for the average Joe,
your parents guide you too. Fumbling around over here.
But yeah, go ahead, Tim. You were finishing a statement.
Oh, I think your parents guide you in morality as well. But maybe it just, your parents are part of that generation that were still part of religion. So give it another two generations and who knows what'll happen. Right. I don't know. Jesus Christ. Just fumbling around with the vape over here.
Good content, Randy. And I think this is the last one. Right here. Hey Dennis, it's me again. This is Alex. Just wanted to mention that your response to my previous email made total sense, and I appreciate you replying me back. Loving the podcast. I heard you guys asking for topics to discuss. Figured I'd suggest a few. In your point of view, what is the natural temperament of mankind?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Dude, basically what I just said.
I like this guy. Are we self-interested and hedonistic people at heart, or do you think we naturally choose to band together to contribute to society? In another point of view, if society was stripped away from us, what kind of people would we be? Who would survive? These questions stem from the concepts of social contract and state of nature, contributed by philosophers Thomas Hobbes and John Locke.
I was just going to say he should read Thomas Hobbes and John Locke. Yeah. Jesus.
It'd be interesting for you guys to discuss this and explore different scenarios for this very subjective topic. I agree. We should totally pick that.
We could do a whole podcast on Thomas and Hobbes. And
and just off the cuff, I would say that, you know, these are great questions, and I think...
Let's save it. We'll do an episode on it.
Yeah. No, let's definitely do that. And I think if society was stripped away from us, we would become more animalistic. I would say.
No doubt about that. I think so.
Maybe.
Number two, technology is developing at a rapid pace. Affiance touched on the theme of playing God with the advancement of technology. It's funny because we just did CRISPR as an episode. So perhaps you can go a little deeper with the podcast. What boundaries should there be with the advancement of technology or even science in general? Will the development of AI become so advanced that eventually it would create sentient beings? If so, is it natural or moral for us to do so? These are great questions, Alex.
Where's Alex located?
I don't know. Additionally, the advancements of technology and science are allowing technological augmentations to our bodies. What do you think of this? It's like this guy is on the podcast, actually.
Yeah, Jesus.
It's a bit of a bonus deviation to the previous suggestion, but apply this topic to the thesis paradox. If components of something is replaced or constantly replaced, is it the same thing as it once was? Does your deduction work with other aspects of life? Jeez. Holy crap, he's talking about CRISPR without even talking about CRISPR.
Well, and he's talking about the conversation you and I had in the car on the way over.
Holy shit, Alex. I don't know where you live.
If you're within 100 miles of Cleveland, you should come on.
No, if you're within 1,000 miles of Cleveland, just get in your fucking car and drive up here. Just throwing things out there, he says. I need some stuff to listen to while at work. What are you, a nuclear engineer slash therapist?
He could be the scientist we need on the podcast.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
These are great questions, and we should dive into them in a podcast. And I think they're a little too deep to just touch on while we're capping over them.
Just a shout out. If anybody's a scientist, we need a scientist.
Yeah, well, you know, my goal is to build this up enough to where I can have some guests that I don't personally know. You know, I mean, I begged Michael to come on here and talk about something he's not even an expertise in. But this one's from Anthony. This is the last email. First off, I want to say thanks for doing the podcast. So far, each topic has been something that my friend and I have discussed at some point, so hearing someone else that has the same point of view is awesome. That being said, we had a conversation not too long ago about what American culture is. To give you a little background, I'm a first-generation Hispanic living in Texas, so a lot of my traditions and culture is heavily based on what my parents grew up with in Mexico. My friend, on the other hand, is white. LOL. This topic came up when I asked him what it feels like to not have any actual traditions or culture that is strictly considered American. I mean, sure, you have certain things, but it is rooted in European traditions. Example, what would you consider American food? A lot of American favorites have European roots. We sometimes forget that we are a melting pot of different cultures and traditions, and it doesn't stop with food. You can find all these influences everywhere. And maybe that's what being American is, accepting all nations, creeds, cultures, ethnicities, etc. Anyways, would be nice to see if you and Tim would have any thoughts on the subject, and Michael. Keep those episodes coming. Definitely appreciate and look forward to the alternative thinking that your podcast provides. Thank you, Anthony.
Is that something we're going to talk about right now?
I think we can touch on it at least, and I think he nailed it when he said that being American is accepting all nations, creeds, cultures, and ethnicities.
That's what we were founded on.
Yeah, so you know, he's talking about foods and stuff. Yeah, they might have roots in other foods, but you can probably tie back every single food in the world to something else.
Yeah, everything influences everything.
Right, you know? So yeah, yes, American food.
Yeah, the hot dog is German.
Okay.
And apple pie is probably also German.
But okay, hamburger.
German.
Right. But it's changed a little bit over time. I think that there's like an American twist on everything. Maybe
there's American Chinese.
And there's, yeah.
Everything
for
that
sure.
We eat is American.
I would argue that the burrito as we know it is American, not Mexican.
Chicken fingers.
Absolutely.
American.
Yeah.
Fried chicken.
Ooh. Anything in a fryer.
Yeah.
Done at 300 degrees.
Right.
Oil.
Except American. For French fries. Literally.
Pommes frites. Except for. Mayo is superior to ketchup.
I mean, honestly,
on fries?
Yes.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
No, mayonnaise on fries is super European.
It's amazing.
Come on, you guys.
No,
you are fucking animals.
No, actually, if you can get a malt vinegar mayo or some sort of like an aioli.
No, you put the malt vinegar on the fries.
Malt vinegar and then the mayo.
No, malt vinegar and then ketchup like a normal human being.
Yeah, you got to have that high fructose American culture.
You know what we should try?
What?
I've had it before. It's Ivar in French fries, which is, for nobody who knows what Ivar is, if you're not Eastern European, it's roasted red peppers, garlic, and onions.
That sounds
pretty good. Yeah. I think that's called lezzo in Hungarian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not Hungarian, but... I was stranded there once, and Patrick, our drummer, thinks that we died there, and everything is an illusion. But true
another
story.
Podcast.
But yeah, no, 100% American culture. Well, okay, there's what American culture should be, which is what you said, and there's what American culture is, which I think is everything you said plus this arrogance that we're the best. And that,
which we talked about on the last podcast,
consumer, you know, consume, buy, new, nice, which is, you know, every culture deals with, but we uniquely have a very strong hold of that in our culture. Another thing that's uniquely American that I've noticed as somebody who studied urban planning before music is we love land. And we love space.
It's because we have it here. That's why.
Well, so does Canada. But when you see Canadian urban development, it's still efficient, tight, and dense.
Yeah, but Canadian land, half of it's frozen. It's like tundra.
Still, though. They still have tons of land. I mean, they're I think Canada is the largest country by land in the world over Russia. And if not, it's second to Russia.
Right, but Russia is also tundra.
Yeah,
which is why they have a lot of it.
Right. Right.
Oh, yeah. But
people aren't obsessed with a lot of land because the livable space in Canada is like a quarter of the country.
Yeah, it's north of Cleveland.
it's more than a quarter.
Okay,
but
I know I'm exaggerating.
I get your point, but it doesn't matter. We are literally the only country in the world that is obsessed with 2-acre yards, but still having the convenience of being near the city.
Yeah.
We're the only culture that's okay with a 40-mile commute to work.
Yeah, but Elon Musk has a problem solver for that.
What?
Hyperloop.
Hell yeah, dude.
We should talk about that.
Yeah.
Well, the British have what they, I don't know if they were called suburbs, but they had these communities along the train to come into London or go into Birmingham or Manchester. But when they built them, it was still tight, dense towns surrounded by farmland. But
Germany's the size of Ohio.
No, I understand that. But we're not, we can't pretend that we're the only country with land. The population density of Australia is nothing.
Desert.
Right. And unlivable land.
Okay, and we built a major metropolitan area on unlivable land.
One. Because it was an aquifer.
Two of them. Phoenix
and Vegas.
Which actually, I know the dude who found the water in Phoenix, but whatever. We'll talk about that.
Well, you should have him come over and give us his cash.
He's 88 years old.
Yeah. Like I said, give us his cash. He doesn't need it much longer unless he gets CRISPR'd. Anyways, my point is, there's a lot of things that are uniquely American, but they're not necessarily cultural. They're more ideological. But thanks for the input, Anthony. And that's the last email. Please continue to send emails in at rageofreasonpodcast@gmail.com, and I might even read them.
Make sure you create a list of all those topics that people were
oh, no,
suggesting,
I will.
And then we'll... I mean, that's like a couple months worth of subjects.
I will. So. I would also... I've been watching a lot of videos on School of Life channel on YouTube, as well as the Kurzgesagt. It's a German word. Just type in KURZ and it'll come up. It's awesome. On YouTube. Great, great topics. Short 5 to 10 minute videos on topics. And I really have been feeling influenced by those videos on topics for the podcast. You guys have anything else to add before we wrap this short
bonus
podcast
time.
Up? This bonus podcast up?
I don't have anything else.
Is that because you want to go to bed because you have to get up early tomorrow for work?
Partially.
Partially. That's about 50% of it.
Yeah. It is very late.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Appreciate the feedback. Please keep it coming. Also, if you have time, on your respective apps that you're listening to this on, leave a written review. Don't just rate with stars.
Hey, but stars are cool too.
Stars are great, but written reviews are even better. And if you have the time and you have the care, please do that for us. That'd be great. Michael, thank you so much for joining us again.
Absolutely.
And Tim, thank you so much for co-hosting with me. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And we'll be back eventually. With some more stuff.
Eventually?
Yeah.
Eventually.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
This was Rage of Reason. Goodbye.